This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field, caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
For the second straight year, the AFC Championship game goes through Foxborough, and for the second straight year, it'll be the Patriots and Ravens with a spot in the Super Bowl on the line. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Pats pick up a 41-28 win over the Houston Texans in a game that I'm not sure was as close as the final score reflected. Patriots really had pulled away from the Texans early on in this one. They get explosive offense, they get some plays on defense, and really the kind of game that I have been bracing for all week, in that the Pats would be able to handle the Texans, they'd get up on them, and I will give Houston credit. They picked themselves back up off the mat when the Patriots stuck it to them early, because easily Houston could have curled up into a ball when they were down 38-13 after that long touchdown to Shane Vereen, who we'll get to momentarily here. But a big-time performance from the Patriots. And again, back in the AFC title game, they'll be taking on the Baltimore Ravens a week from tonight at 6:30 Eastern in Foxborough for the AFC Championship game. Want to get to all your thoughts. 508-298-0398. That's how you give us a call here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Sun Life Financial can help protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits, or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. So again, give us a call here. Sun Life Patriots postgame show, 508-298-0398. Send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. Your thoughts on this one today from the Pats, and also how they match up against the Baltimore Ravens next week in the AFC Championship game. Before we get to your feedback, let's kick it off as we always do here on the postgame show with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
F***ing don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
I think you have to start on the good list here with Shane Vereen, a guy who I very openly was mocking on Twitter, the decision for Bill Belichick to go with Vereen and Woodhead out of the gates over Stephen Ridley to start this one. I've been campaigning all week that the Patriots focus on the ground game and get Ridley going early in this one, and turns out didn't matter one bit. The Patriots went with Vereen. Monster game for him. 124 total yards, 41 on the ground, 83 through the air, and three touchdowns, including the 33-yarder that we talked about before, which would have been an excellent catch for a wide receiver, never mind a running back. So Shane Vereen with an off-the-charts performance. Andy Hart was talking about it in the pregame show. You know some of your big guns are going to give you big-time performances. You need other people to step up. And today, Shane Vereen did. Also on the good list for the Pats, Rob Ninkovich. His interception was a huge momentum turner for the Patriots. It was 24-13 when Ninkovich picked off Matt Schaub. It led to Brandon Lloyd's touchdown, which put the Patriots up 31-13. They then run it all the way to 38-13. And Ninkovich also, if you remember this, recovered that onside kick when the Texans were making a bit of a push to come back in the game. It was 38-28, Ninkovich with the onside kick recovery. So a big game from him, and I thought a decent game overall for the Patriots defense. And finally on our good list, Tom Brady, 344 yards, three touchdowns, no turnovers, which is always important in a playoff game. And then you get to some of the career numbers for Brady. His 17th playoff win, that's the most by any quarterback in postseason history. He's also in his seventh AFC championship game, as was pointed out on Twitter. That's just one fewer AFC championship game appearance than Peyton Manning has won and done in his career. So the good list for the Pats tonight, Vereen, Ninkovich, and Brady. On the other side, and you know this is coming on the bad list, their kickoff coverage was abysmal in this game. Daniel Manning, 4 kick returns for 216 yards. That's 54 yards on average. The kickoff returns that the Patriots allowed to Manning, which is awful, including the 94-yard kickoff return to start the game. Fortunately, the Patriots defense buckled down from there and held the Texans to a field goal. And really, they weren't looking back from that point on, were the Patriots. I also thought the Pats' halftime approach was awful. Way too conservative from Bill Belichick. I put this out there on Twitter, at AdamJones98.5, that I thought the Patriots were going to score going into half and coming out. And Belichick just was way too conservative. Started with a run, then there was an incompletion to Aaron Hernandez and another incompletion, and the Pats punted it back to the Texans. So instead of going up at halftime at least 17-10 and being aggressive and maybe chasing more points, they were only up 17-13 as Houston hit on a 55-yard field goal by Shane Graham right before the half, and the Patriots had more than a minute. I thought that was a poor way to go into halftime. And I also, and I never do this, had the refs on my bad list. And I typically hate that type of commentary, but I thought the unsportsmanlike penalty on Brandon Lloyd was just way, way too ticky-tack. Like, how do you throw a flag in that situation?
Lloyd!
Exactly. Prevented the Patriots from maybe getting some more points. And I also thought they had a quick whistle on the Mayo forced fumble on Owen Daniels, where they just blew the whistle too quick. They said it was the stopping of forward progress, and I thought the refs had a rough day in this one, to be honest, Kevin.
That was awful. I almost choked someone. I'm not going to lie to you, Jones. I'm an emotional
I'm
man.
I'm telling you, if the Patriots would have lost, I wouldn't have blamed the officials for the loss or anything like that.
No.
They were just awful
thought, to be fair,
ticky-tack one on Welker?
Yes.
Yes, I totally agree. That third and two that the Patriots picked up, ticky-tack one on Welker. I agree. So I thought the refs had a rough day overall, and trust me, if the Patriots lost, I wouldn't have blamed the refs. But because they won, and they won in convincing fashion, I think you can point that out. So bad list, kickoff coverage, halftime approach by Belichick, and also the refs. And then you get to the injured, and this was a lengthy list from the Patriots today, and it was some big names and some bad news for the Pats. Rob Gronkowski with an arm injury or a forearm injury, which was reported by the Patriots, and according to Pro Football Talk First and other outlets as well, he's now done for the postseason. With a broken forearm, re-injured what he did earlier this season. So just when you thought you were getting Gronkowski back, he could be lost for the postseason. And that certainly takes some of the shine off the win tonight for the Patriots. Chandler Jones also left with an ankle injury, which he did not return from, and I don't believe was spotted on the sidelines again. So that's another one to monitor. And then Danny Woodhead with a thumb injury was back on the sidelines, was reportedly catching passes. So his doesn't seem as significant. But those are the three injuries of note for the Patriots following this one, and Gronkowski is a significant one. So there's your injured list for the Pats, and obviously we can mix this in with your thoughts on the game today as well, and also how the Pats match up against the Ravens. What are they going to do without Rob Gronkowski, and how does that impact the offense? You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Without further ado, let's rip through some of these phone calls. Let's kick it off with Alvin in Texas. What'd you think of this win here today for the Pats, Alvin?
Well, I'm really happy that they won. Now I get to rub it on all those Texans fans that over here.
That's true. You're down there in Texans country.
Yeah, they always pick on me, but I always tell them the truth, but nothing but the truth that, you know, we're better and we're always disciplined. That's the best part about it. But I was kind of disappointed. Why did they made him look like a wide receiver? They should use him as a tight end. That was just one of the biggest mistake.
The Gronkowski play you're asking about, Alvin?
Yeah, that one. You know, like, when he was, like, playing, like, right receiver, and he was on top.
I mean, look, Alvin, I appreciate the phone call. I have trouble faulting the Patriots for that one. Like, whoever it was, Belichick, Brady, Gronkowski, that's one of those things where he's back. He was healthy enough to play in Week 17. We're now 2 weeks beyond that. So I assume he should be healthier, and he just put all of his weight on his forearm. It's just one of those things that are unfortunate. I'm not sure you can blame anyone. Again, the question on the table is, what do the Patriots do offensively now? And how does that impact the offense? Look, it hasn't mattered against the Texans. They didn't have him in the first matchup against Houston, and they scored 42. They didn't have him for just about all of this game, and they scored 41. So it doesn't matter against Houston. It might matter against a hot Baltimore team, and it very well could matter in the Super Bowl. His lack of being healthy last year against the Giants was a factor. It's not the reason they lost, but it's on the list. Let's go back to the phones. Vinny is in Michigan. What do you got, Vin?
Man, very happy if they win. I wasn't very happy with the way the defense was playing in the fourth. I think you said it's a little too conservative. Getting a little nervous, but not too nervous. I'm very happy that Peyton Manning is out of the playoffs. I'd much rather have the Ravens come to town. I know they're riding that Ray Lewis emotional high, but I think we can handle them. And Gronkowski, I'm disappointing. I don't think it must not have been fully healed. If that little tiny fall rebroke it. And finally, I'd love to see them use Vereen more as a wideout, maybe when Ridley's in the game as well. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I don't think today they had much of a choice, and it's a good point, Vin, and I appreciate the phone call. Today they only had three active, healthy receivers, if I'm not mistaken. It was Welker, Lloyd, and Branch. That was it. Those were the only active receivers they had into the game. So Vereen or Woodhead, and Woodhead got hurt in this one as well, they essentially had to be your fourth receiver and fifth receivers. So, I don't know, the way he caught that pass on the 33-yard touchdown, that would have been good for any receiver in the NFL, and that was a running back. And he was a monster today. Like I said, I was dead wrong about Ridley out of the gates. I hated that approach by the Patriots, and it turned out to be the right matchup, and Vereen took advantage of it. Now, remember, the Patriots wanted to have Woodhead out of the gate, and they went to Vereen only because Woodhead got hurt. So that changed the perspective of this a little bit. But I don't know. I didn't like it out of the gates, and it just shows that I was dead wrong on that thing. One good point that Vinny brought up, among many, is would you rather face Baltimore here in New England, or would you have rather have gone to Denver and faced the Broncos? And I've seen both espoused on Twitter, and we were talking about it a bit during the pregame social as well. I would much rather play the game here, and I'd much rather have the Baltimore Ravens here in Foxborough than have to go on the road against Denver. If it was the Broncos here, that's another story. But I'd rather have the AFC Championship game here in this stadium, just like a season ago, though the Ravens, and good for them, no longer have Billy Cundiff. They have a kicker who can actually make some pressure kicks, which he did yesterday to beat Denver in double overtime. So we'll mix that in as well on the phones. Let's go to Sean in Michigan. What do you got, Sean?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good. How about you guys?
We're doing excellent here.
Hey, one thing I was kind of wondering all season, you kind of pointed out tonight. What in the world do you think Alabama means?
Oh, well, I can tell you, Alabama, just for those, and I like to make jokes about this on Twitter and other outlets, you can hear it so clearly, crystal clear, through the television broadcast. It's one of those, from what I can understand, Sean, it's one of those one-play calls that the Patriots have where Brady just gets to the line and says Alabama, and it's a quick snap play. It's what Greg Bedard wrote about in the Globe, the trickle down of the Oregon offense or rooted in Chip Kelly's offense. So that's my best guess. It's a one play call. They get up to the line and they just run it. That's what they're doing there.
I thought it might have been like a kill situation, like kill the first play, go to the second option or something like that. But a couple things I want to point out to you. We played Baltimore what, week three?
Correct.
We didn't have Hernandez there.
Did not have Hernandez in that game, right?
So honestly, when all boys down, Gronk's just a better blocker than Hernandez. Receiving, I mean, it can go pretty much either way. But the main thing I was trying to point out, they had Darius Webb. They're not going to have Darius Webb now. Going into this, that's like a big key for us. You know what I mean? So he's not going to be on Walker. Last year he contained Walker pretty well, and so did he in week three. That's why we had to go to Edelman. Well, pretty much a game plan, but we went to Edelman in week three. What do you think about that?
I'm sorry. The question one more time, Sean.
Ladarius Webb being out.
And the difference is in health from that last game against Baltimore. Look, it's a good point. And the Ravens are banged up anyway. I mean, don't tell me that Ray Lewis isn't dealing with something, and you know Suggs is dealing with something, and I just don't think they're a healthy team, but they're scary. And Sean, I appreciate the phone call. I respectfully disagree on the Gronkowski versus Hernandez point, and the reason I had him re-ask the question is because I was reading up on some of these tweets about Belichick at the podium, and we'll relay you the full audio coming up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. But here's a few snippets from Belichick. Was asked about Gronkowski's injury and whether he should have played. And Belichick said doctors handled the decision. And he's right. Look, if the doctors have the guy cleared and the player wants to go, and just going back to a few calls ago, I disagree with the caller. He was healthy enough to be out there. Is he healthy enough to where he's 100%? No, and I don't think anyone was saying he's 100%. But he was healthy enough to be out there. I don't think the Patriots were in the wrong or anything of that nature by playing him in this game. It was the absolute worst thing that could have happened. He put all his weight on a forearm that's still healing. So it's the absolute worst thing that could have happened. I pin no blame on the Patriots for that. And the other snippet that came out of Belichick's postgame press conference, very complimentary of Omanawanui coming in and picking up the slack for Gronkowski, and it's a good point. You know, we made fun of the, or at least I did, made fun of the transaction and said, well, you know, Josh McDaniels just wants all his guys from St. Louis, and that's why Omanawanui is here. It's been a nice pickup for the Patriots, especially with all the injuries they've had at tight ends. He's been one of the few constants, believe it or not. Patriots haven't been able to keep Hernandez and Gronkowski on the field, and it looks like this is the final blow for Gronkowski. Again, if you're just tuning in, Pro Football Talk had the report a while ago, and a number of other media outlets have either independently confirmed it or picked up on that report that Gronkowski is done for the rest of the postseason with a forearm injury. And you will hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick at the podium coming up in a bit here on the postgame show, as well as Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. And we'll mix in, hopefully, a member of the Patriots in their victorious locker room as they beat the Texans 41-28 to advance to their seventh AFC championship game under Belichick and Brady and the second in consecutive seasons. Let's go to Al in New Jersey. What do you got, Al?
Hey, Adam, great win. I'm going to jump around a little bit. You know,
sure.
First of all, you're going to miss Gronk in the red zone, but we seem to be putting up enough points, so, you know, we'll see about that. You know, Adam, at the beginning of the game, you know, McCourty made a great play saving a touchdown.
On the kickoff return.
Yeah, and they had to settle for 3 points, and that was a big, big, big play. And earlier, you know, great catch by Welker with a defender all over him. So there were a lot of great points to make. Now, late in the game, Brady threw on third down for Lloyd to get the first down. You look at that Denver game, Manning had the choice of audible, whether to hand off or try and get the third down. He handed off, which ended up giving the Ravens ended up giving them a win, really. So that's the difference between Brady and Manning. Manning wins the Me, Myself, I awards, and Brady looks to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, and Al, I think you can play that one both ways, and I appreciate the phone call. Look, we always used to say that Manning would audible into passing plays to pad his stats, so I think you can have that one both ways, but I appreciate the phone call. Couple of thoughts. On Welker, I initially thought it was a mixed bag for him. He had a couple of drops early, but had some huge third down conversions early in the game. 11 yards, 8 yards, 11 yards. He's still the guy you look to on third down. And he had that monstrous 47-yard play down the field, which everyone took to Twitter and made fun of Wade Phillips for calling Welker unathletic, which was just silly and regretful on Phillips' part. He had already backtracked on Twitter earlier this week. But Welker, 8 catches, 131 on 13 targets. It was a lot better than when these two teams played on December 10th from Welker, when the Texans by and large limited him. And I don't know. It's one of those performances that I look at and say, if the Patriots needed to see more from Welker in the postseason, this is the kind of performance that gets him that payday. I think they already should have paid him or already should have made up their minds that they're going to pay him and give him at the very least the franchise tag for next season, if not a multi-year extension. And I think Welker's track record speaks for itself. But today, another great game from Wes Welker. The drops aside early on, I think the rest of his play overshadowed those drops for me personally. And the caller also brought up a good point. There were two significant players in my view, playing in their first postseason game. And that's aside from rookies, you know, some of the additions they had. One is Brandon Lloyd, who did not play a great game, but I thought played well enough. And y'all saw the touchdown that he had, which put the Patriots up 31-13 at the time. 5 catches, 32 yards, and a touchdown. But I want to go back to the point the caller just made. That 8-yard catch on 3rd-and-2 was a big one at the time. It kept the Patriots and their drive alive, and it kept the Pats from giving the ball back to the Texans in a 10-point game. So that was a big catch by Lloyd. I didn't think he played tremendous, but I thought he played well enough. I also thought Tlaib had a nice game today, and he didn't win every single one-on-one matchup with Andre Johnson. You look at the numbers, Johnson had 8 catches, 95 yards on 11 targets. He had the jump ball in the end zone for the 2-point conversion, but I thought by and large Tlaib was competitive with him. Tlaib won a few of those one-on-one battles. I don't know. I thought the Patriots defense had a pretty good game, to be honest. And you look up and you see they gave up 28 points, but they had a short field a couple of times on some of those long kickoff returns. And I thought the defense did well, especially when you factor in some of the turnovers they forced and the interception that the Patriots were able to pull away. And they had a couple of loose balls kicked out as well that they didn't recover, or the officials took it away from them. But I thought the defense played pretty well, and I thought both Tlaib and Lloyd acquitted themselves pretty well in their first postseason game. Let's continue with your phone calls here, 508-298-0398. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones as the Pats hammer the Texans 41-28 to advance back to the AFC Championship game. And as I said, I'm not sure that final score does the domination that the Patriots did justice here. We'll also mix in your emails, webradio@patriots.com. And as we look over some of those emails, our buddy Vishon from New York writes in, Adam, just wanted to get your view on the Pats' chances on beating the Ravens without Gronkowski. I think his injury is the difference between a win and a loss. Vishon, I don't feel that way, but it certainly makes things that much more difficult. And maybe it goes back to what you were expecting out of Gronkowski in this game. For me, all week, I labeled Gronkowski and Hernandez as question marks. And I did that going all the way back to week 17. They're question marks in this game and in the postseason because neither are healthy. And Hernandez was pretty good throughout. You know, Hernandez had that 140-yard catch where he crossed up Daniel Manning, but had six catches, 85 yards, another good game for him against the Texans. He looked relatively healthy, and it looked like the bye week did him some good because in week 17 against Miami, he was on my bad list. I thought he was bad. Two drops in that game, a bad penalty. So he looks better to me and healthier, and it looks like the bye week did him some good. Obviously, you've now lost Gronkowski, but I had them already pegged as question marks. So to me, I don't know. Obviously, you want him in that game against the Ravens, but I definitely wouldn't go as far as saying it's the difference between a win and a loss. I think the Patriots can beat the Ravens without Gronkowski. One more email here before we get back to the phones. This one from Kevin in High Point, North Carolina. He writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, the refs obviously teamed up with the Texans to try and cover that spread. They were no match for Tom Brady in the offense. The score doesn't necessarily show it, but I was happy with the D. Most of the Texans' points came when the game was well in hand. Stinks to lose Gronkowski, but the offense scored 38 without him, so it doesn't seem so bad. I'm excited to see the AFC Championship game be played at home, and I think we'll be headed to the Super Bowl this year. I'm not predicting a championship just yet, but things are looking good so far. I agree with a lot of those points from Kevin, writing into webradio@patriots.com. And you have to like the Patriots' chances, in my view, against Baltimore here at home in the AFC Championship game. Not saying it won't be a hard-fought game, because the games against Baltimore typically are, but I like the Patriots' chances, and it lines up well. I know they lost to Baltimore in Week 3, but both teams are different. Both teams are playing well. I just think the Patriots functioning at their highest and playing their best football is better than what Baltimore can hope to do. That's just my feeling on the game. So I agree. They should get back to the Super Bowl with or without Gronkowski, and when they get there, then we reevaluate it. And that, to me, feels like the game where his impact or his presence will be felt a little bit more. Not that you don't miss him anytime. They missed him today. But my feeling is the Super Bowl is the game where you need him a little bit more than you need him against
Baltimore. Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
What was that?
No, Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
Because that email was from Kevin, and you said you agree with all of
gotcha.
His points.
Gotcha. Sorry. I thought he was saying something about Gronkowski.
No, Tom clearly agrees with the points as well.
Definite idiot. And by the way, that was Tom Brady, Patriots quarterback. Again, now has the most wins all time in the postseason, and a few callers ago was talking about the difference between Brady and Manning. Brady has the most postseason wins. Manning now has the most postseason losses, and also has 8 one-and-dones, which is more than double any other quarterback in NFL postseason history. So take that for what you will. Let's go to Joel in Atlanta. What do you got, Joel?
Hey, Adam. What's going on?
Not much, man. Just enjoying the win here today in Foxborough.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was pretty much more the same. I mean, yes, granted, the Texans did score a little bit more this time, but it was just more the same. It was the Patriots just dominated the game offensively, defensively, and any other league you want to put in there. But I think with the Ravens coming in, there's a difference from last year. Is our defense is better. So, I mean, Patriots fans, they have nothing to worry about. Our defense is 10 times better than it was last year. And the Ravens should be the team that's worried.
Well, and Joel, I agree on the defense. I mean, I don't think the Ravens are – they're not the kind of team that gets worried or scared or whatever you want to call or say – about them. They're not intimidated by coming into Foxborough. I mean, in their minds, they think they should have won that game last year if their kicker can make a field goal, for God's sakes, or if Lee Evans can hang on to a football in the end zone that Sterling Moore batted away from him. We're talking about things a lot differently this year. The Ravens believe they can come in here and win. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm not sure the Texans thought that today, but the Ravens think they can come in and win on Sunday. So take it for what it's worth. It doesn't mean anything at the end of the day, but they're not going to be intimidated. And you know, they'll be able to take the Patriots, punching them in the mouth, and bounce back. They did that in the AFC Championship game last year as well. Now, look, I agree with him on the defense is much better this season, and it's part of the reason why I think the Patriots are a better team this year than they were a year ago. And we can throw that question out to you on the phones, 508-298-0398. That's how you give us a call here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. I felt coming into this game that the Patriots were better than they were a season ago. And I feel that way even more so today after the win, but the reason is threefold. And some of it was shown today, some of it wasn't. One is the defense. They're better in the secondary. With Tlaib and Dennard at cornerback and McCourty at safety, they are better in the secondary than they were a season ago at this time. No doubt in my mind. Zero. They're also a more balanced offensive team. You know, they run the football better than they did a year ago. And I didn't even think the Patriots ran it all that well today, but 122 on the ground. They average as a team over 5 yards a rush. Ridley, 15 for 82. Vereen averaged about 6 yards a carry today. They had some long explosive plays on the ground. So I like the Patriots running attack, and their balance on offense is part of the reason I feel good about them in the postseason. So that's my number two reason. And number three is Lloyd, outside the numbers. I just think he's an extra threat out there. And not that he played, you know, or put up eye-popping stats in this game today. I don't think it was the best game he's played in a Patriots uniform or anything like that. But he did have a touchdown. He did have a big third down conversion when the Patriots were trying to run out the clock. So situationally, he had an answer. I thought Lloyd played fine in this game today, and I think he can give you more in the postseason going forward. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Jonathan in Las Vegas. What do you got, Jonathan?
Yeah, you know, Adam, our chances, you know, going to the Super Bowl, they look really, really good. And, you know, that addition of Aqib Talib really helps our defense because we're able to blitz more.
Totally.
The balance that we have on offense is really good, and the hustle that Devin McCourty showed on that opening kickoff, you know, was really nice to save that touchdown.
It was. And look, I think that's probably an underrated play. You know, I've sat here and hammered the kickoff return, but you're the second caller to bring it up, Jonathan, and it had sort of slipped my mind that it was McCourty hauling him down, he being Daniel Manning, on the kickoff return. That was impressive, and the caller's absolutely right as well about not just the addition of Tlaib, and I think he's a better cornerback than what the Patriots already had in place, but his addition allows them to blitz more. I think both he and Dennard, they're blitzing more than twice as often as they did before they got Tlaib. Those numbers to me aren't an accident. Let's go to Mel in Tennessee. What's going on, Mel? What do you got?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Well, I'm going to kind of jump over a little bit, just like one of the previous calls, but I thought there were some things that were good. I thought Mesko, of course, with those punts were great. I mean, like I said, those with a tight game can be really crucial, like just as far as giving us good field position. The defense played well. I think you already talked on Tlaib. I thought that, you know, just like you said, he's going to get beat some plays, but to be competitive the whole time and win some of those battles, especially going against Torrey Smith next week. The only thing he does is almost run down the field. I like that matchup a lot better this year with Eldman and Sterling Moore and people like that that were out there last year and probably early on in the season. I thought Nico did good, not only with the interception, but the onside recovery was good. Thought our running backs did well. Negative things, I thought, of course, the special teams. And I thought Brady on the first half, well, there were a lot of low passes that he should have got up that he normally competes. It was an out. And then, of course, the pass to Lloyd that, with that bogus call. But and Chandler Jones really let me down. I thought he was going to be able to put some more pressure than he normally did. But I think one of the keys going forward with the Gronkowski being out is just, you know, is to be more effective with the run. I thought that worked out real well to see where this game was just more effective with the run. And I talked to somebody yesterday about would you rather play up there in Denver or, of course, down here. I do like just to kind of argue both points. I like the home game a lot versus anybody. But also, you know, we always abuse Denver's defense a lot. That's a 30-plus. We always score at least 30 on, you know, Denver's defense versus Baltimore, which early on this year was a 31-point game, I think.
Yep.
That was the only time that we scored 30 on them. They always hold us to the low 20s. It feels like to me. So, I mean, it's, you know, you can kind of argue both ways that we just can all, I mean, Peyton Manning's not on the defense. We can always put 30 or 40 on Denver's defense. For some odd reason, we just had that matchup problem with Denver, but we don't have to worry about that. But, you know, for some odd reason, just like yesterday, I mean, even
the Ravens defense only allowed Willis 21 points. Other than that, it was
all kickoff returns. Yeah, you're right. Totally right, Melvin, and I appreciate the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's how you give us a call here on the Patriots post-game show. Look, I would rather face Baltimore here because it's a home game. I understand the point that Baltimore may be a tougher matchup for the Patriots, which I agree with, but I'd rather have a tougher matchup on your home field than an easier matchup away, especially a place like Denver where there's the altitude and all the other weird things that just seem to go wrong for the Patriots out there historically. So I would just like to avoid that if I'm the Pats, but we'll take your thoughts on that. Is this a better setup for the Pats, or would you rather be going to Denver? 508-298-0398. We mix that in with your thoughts on the Patriots and the lack of Gronkowski. How will that impact the Pats offense going forward? And we also head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. That's next here on Patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
Are the de facto number one in the AFC. Now that Denver's been knocked out, the road to the Super Bowl goes through Foxborough for the second year in a row. The AFC championship game will be the Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens following New England's 41-28 win over the Houston Texans earlier today here at Gillette Stadium. Adam Jones with you on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. Or email us, webradio, at patriots.com. How about this? According to some tweets out there, and I have not done the legwork and double-checked it, so if it's incorrect, forgive me. But already seeing this in the Twitter sphere, the Patriots have opened up as 10-point favorites over the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game. How's that make you feel about that game next week? 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. To me, it's a bit high. But I understand with what the Patriots did today, 41 points on the Texans after scoring 42 against them earlier, and that's a top five defense in the NFL easily. And the Patriots just made them look silly. So they're already 10-point favorites in the AFC Championship game. There's also a few things trickling out of the Patriots locker room. Vince Wilfork, when informed that the Patriots will not have Rob Gronkowski, who, again, if you're just tuning in, Pro Football Talk had the report late in the fourth quarter of the game, and multiple outlets have picked up on it as well. Gronkowski, done for the postseason, re-injured that forearm, which he missed 5 games with at the tail end of the regular season, and the Patriots went 4-1 in those games, by the way, including a win over Houston. Their only loss was San Francisco. But no Gronkowski for the rest of the postseason. He was spotted in the locker room in a sling. And Vince Wilfork at the podium earlier today, I guess, was genuinely caught off guard when he was informed that the Pats will be without Gronkowski. He didn't believe it. He didn't know. So I guess that tells you the wall the Patriots put up, not just between themselves and the media, but between themselves and their teammates when, you know, Wilfork didn't even see him back on the sideline. Maybe he thought he was done for a game or maybe next week, but he's out for the postseason, which is bad news, obviously, for the Patriots. And you will hear from their defensive captain, Vince Wilfork, coming up in a little bit here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Did want to get to some of the emails, webradio at patriots.com, before we head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Kevin writes in, Adam, good game, and I'm glad we won. It's been a while since I've yelled at the refs so much. Seems like they had Houston on their pro line ticket. My good list, writes Kevin. Brady, Vereen, Ninkovich, Welker, and the offensive line. Huge game from Mankins. And you're right, the O-line was very, very good in this one. Very, very good in this game. And it's something that I haven't singled out enough. But another good job on Watt in this game. Patriots ran for the second time on the Texans. They ran for 115 in the first matchup. And as we said earlier tonight, also ran for 122 in this game. Tom Brady was sacked just one time. It was J.J. Watt, of course. But in general, the Patriots did a nice job in protecting Brady and also their offensive line. In the running game, opened up a ton of holes for Vereen, Ridley, whoever it was back there. Also, Kevin's bad list. Refs, the botched fumble call was big time, and that was a frustrating one. I thought the unsportsmanlike conduct on Lloyd is something you could call a billion times in an NFL game. I didn't think that was that bad from Lloyd. He also adds the pass rush was invisible, their kickoff coverage was embarrassing, and the Gronk injury, which is a big one. And Kevin also adds he's already getting talked at by Ravens fans. I know how I feel. The Ravens are always one team that scares me. And again, that's Kevin writing into webradio at patriots.com. Mark from the Cheddar, good friend of the show, also writes in, Adam and Kevin. So, Kevin, get ready to weigh in on this one. Quick question for you and your listeners. Last season, there was a week of everyone asking what the nickname should be for Hernandez and Gronkowski. The majority of the media settled on the Boston TE party, which I did. I actually vouched for that nickname, thought it was a good one. So after today's game, asked Mark and the Cheddar, what should be the nickname for the second-year backs, Ridley and Vereen? I'm struggling to think of any good ones. Bash and Flash? Keep up the good work, Mark and the Cheddar. Any ideas there, Kev?
Not off the top of my head.
I got nothing off the top of my head. Let me mull that one over, Mark and the Cheddar, while we head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his club's 41-28 win over the Houston Texans as the Patriots advance back to the AFC Championship game for the second straight year.
All right, well, it's good to be able to play in the AFC Championship game next week. I'm really proud of our players. Thought they worked hard all year. Today was a big win for us. And, you know, the Texans are a good football team. They fought hard. They battled us all the way to the end. They got a lot of good football players. But, you know, fortunately, we had a bunch of guys step up today and make the plays that we needed to make. You know, it wasn't perfect. There's certainly a lot of things we could do better. But it was a good win. Happy for the players. I think they earned it. They had a good week of practice. Thought they really did a good job preparing for this game. And you know, it's good to see us make enough plays here to win. So, you know, we know Baltimore's tough. We had a great game with them down there earlier in the season. And know that'll be a battle next week. But we'll enjoy this one for a little while and then get on to the Ravens tomorrow. Well, I mean, Human and Shane stepped in there. Both did a great job for us, and you know, made a lot of. I mean, Shane obviously made a lot of big plays, but you know, Human did a great job too, as he's been doing, you know, for the last month. So, you know, these kind of games, you never really know when the dial spins, where it's going to end up, who it's going to end up on, and those guys were prepared, and you know, offensively, were able to move the ball, put up some points, and so. Yeah, that's credit to everybody to be ready.
Did Robert get on again?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Did he go to the hospital?
I just walked off the field. I don't know.
How's that thing with Devin McCourty on the opening kickoff stop before the touchdown?
Yeah, it was a huge play. Yeah, that's, you know, Devin's done that a couple times for us. You know, working his great speed, tracking those guys down, Manning down. Obviously, Manning did a great job. You know, they hadn't used him on kickoff returns all year until last week. And you know, he led the league in Chicago. I mean, we had a lot of respect for him. We knew what he could do. We didn't do a very good job of it most of the time. But it was a huge play by Devin to really end up saving 3 points. Our defense went in there and had a big stop, you know, on a sudden change or on a big return. So, you know, that was really a huge series in the game. Didn't get off to a good start, but at least minimized the damage and held it to 3 points.
So was there any question?
Well, he wouldn't have played if he wasn't.
Do you have any regret in playing him, seeing him do the same thing
that you want? The doctors handle medical decisions, Albert. I mean, Rob's been really productive for us all year. He's had a great season. You know, his production's right up there at the, you know, very top of the league at his position. And you know, he's made big plays for us in the past. You know, sacks, strips, fumbles, recovered fumbles, tackles for loss, all that. You know, we know he's got good hands. He's had many interceptions before, and you know, made a great play on the ball there. We blitzed from the outside and he dropped out inside, got underneath the route, and you know, really made a great catch on the ball. I mean, it was a tight, tough catch, but you know, Rob's a good athlete, and he makes it look easy. Catches the ball very well. That was a huge play for us, big stop, and then we were able to convert that into points offensively. So that's a big key play in the game for us.
What were you doing schematically to control J.J. Watt around the game?
Well, you know, I mean, you think you got to give credit to the guys up front. You know, it's not about X's and O's. So somebody's got to block them, and you know, whether it was Dan or Wendy or Logan, you know, of course he moves around a little bit, and then when they stun, he, you know, he can end up out there on, of course, the tackles too. Sebastian had him a bunch. So, I mean, whoever has to block him just has to block him. I mean, you know, they run games and they move him around a little bit, and he's a great football player. But the credit goes to the players. I mean, it's not, you don't block him with on a chalkboard. You got to get out there and block him. And that credit goes to the offensive line and the backs. You know, the backs did a good job reading the holes and getting through there. You know, we tried not to dance around. We found some daylight, and Steven and Shane hit it. And so, you know, it's good execution in the running game there at times, too. Well, of course, Tom's meant a lot to us since he's been here. You know, he started winning these playoff games first year. He really got a chance to participate in them. And Tom's a great competitor. He had a great week of preparation, and as he always does for every game, but, you know, especially the playoff games. You know, he's our leader, and, you know, we all follow him. We all respect him. And, you know, he led the team today along with a lot of other guys, but he certainly did his part, as he's done many times before. So no quarterback I'd rather have than Tom Brady. Right. Well, we use some different formations to try to move some people around, and as Tom usually does, he finds the best matchups, and depending on the route and the coverage and so forth, and does a great job getting the ball to the guys that you know, have a good opportunity to win on those routes. And you know, a lot of credit goes to Tom for finding them, but also to Shane for, you know, running good routes, catching the ball in tight coverage, running after the catch, you know, all those things. So obviously something that we worked on during the week. And, you know, when Tom saw matchups that he liked out there, he was able to take advantage of.
I mean, it looked like you matched up with
him. Yeah, we did.
How beneficial is it to the defense to have a guy
to do that? Well, I mean, it was a great battle. It was two good football players. You know, Johnson's a great receiver. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, arguably, you know, one or two in all time. He's tremendous. He's fit, big, fast, got great hands, good route runner. You know, keep competed with him, you know, every down, just like he did in the first half of the first game. You know, it's two good football players, and that's a battle. We didn't give him a lot of help. You know, Johnson caught a few, but, you know, we battled him, you know, keep battled him pretty well there. So, you know, so it was a good matchup. Well, we had him in a couple, you know, some long yardage situations, which are good, and then we had him in the third quarter in a couple long yardage situations before Rob's interception to let him off the hook. But, you know, third down starts on first and second down, and, you know, this comes down to team defense. Good pass rush, good coverage, and keeping the yardage longer by playing better on first and second down. I thought we did a good job on the running game until we got to that last drive in the second quarter. And Foster hit a couple runs there to the weak side on us, and you know, they scored right before the half. But because we were able to hold off a few of those runs, that put them in some third and long situations. But you know, we had you know, it's good team defense. I mean, I don't think it's any one guy, but third down obviously is critical for us, and our red area, you know, red area stop is big too. Well, they're both great backs. I mean, Foster's, you know, really, he's fast. He's really fast. And not that Rice isn't. I mean, we've seen Rice, unfortunately. We've seen him back his jersey a couple times. But, you know, Foster really does a good job of hitting the crease, and he gains a lot of yards just, you know, in a speed and run away from people. So, you know, similar to Chris Johnson, not saying that fast, but that type of guy. So they're different. They're different. They're both good. Yeah, it's a great catch. Yep. Yeah, it's a great catch. You know, Wes is, I mean, he's a tremendous receiver, great competitor. And, you know, again, we felt like at times there was a good matchup with him, you know, in the slot. And, you know, he did a good job in there. And, you know, again, Tom made some good throws. I mean, Wes is quick. He's tough to cover. And so, you know, Tom had some good weapons to work with, and he was able to move the ball around, you know, get it to a bunch of them.
Thank you.
So we had good balance offensively. You know, overall, it's pretty good.
Another matchup with Ed Reed next week. How much you look forward to the challenge Ed Reed on the
I don't look forward to it at all, but I'm glad we're playing him, let's put it that way. But, no, Ed's a great football player. The Ravens have obviously an outstanding team, defense, special teams, offense. I mean, they're, you know, they're good all the way around, very well coached. You know, we thought that they were, you know, as tough as anybody we played all year. We had a great game with them down there at the beginning of the season. And so now it comes back to, you know, to a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. So, you know, we know it'll be tough. And, you know, hopefully we can play our best game next week. Yeah, it sure did. That it wasn't short. You know, I mean, I thought we had the ball out there in the third quarter on that fumble, and they ruled forward progress. So we couldn't challenge the play. They ruled them down by forward progress. You know, that was a tough call. Then the fourth down call, which, you know, we were able to stop them on fourth down on the following the sequence, but still, you know, that was a huge play there. It looked, I thought that, you know, when his elbow went down, the ball hadn't crossed the line, but evidently they didn't see enough evidence for that. So, you know, I mean, those are a couple of calls. That were the one we would have challenged, but we couldn't because it was forward progress. So, you know, and then, you know, the touchdown catch, you know, the official right on the spot thought the ball was moving and called it incomplete, and then that one got overturned, so. You'd have to ask the officials exactly what they saw, but I think that's kind of what we saw. I don't know. I mean, I think right now our focus is just, you know, happy to win this game and get on Baltimore, and we can reflect back on some other year, some other time.
All right, that's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his team's 41-28 win over the Houston Texans here in Foxborough. And you didn't get much of an update, as expected, from Belichick on Gronkowski. You did hear him get a bit snippy there with Bert Breer. You heard him call him Albert, even at one point, using the full name. That's like when a parent breaks out your middle name, essentially. And Belichick got a bit snippy with Bert Breer, and, you know, I don't know.
He's talking like the guy in Fat Albert.
Look, I don't think that... I don't think it was an unfair question, per se, but I don't agree with it. Like, I don't agree with the premise that Belichick or the Patriots put Gronkowski in harm's way or anything like that. I don't think that's the case. So I understand Belichick getting a bit snippy, whether that was the intention of the question or not. The insinuation was, well, you put the player in harm's way. And Belichick said, look, we don't deal with injuries. If they're cleared by the medical staff, then they go out there and play. A few other updates here. Media tweets from around the Twitter sphere that I was monitoring while taking in Belichick's presser there. Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald reports, no walking boot for Chandler Jones, but he did have a noticeable limp. Remember, Chandler Jones left that game with an ankle injury today, and it seemed like he was just getting healthy again. His Week 17 game against Miami was excellent, and now potentially no Chandler Jones for next week against the Baltimore Ravens as he left this game. He'll be questionable, and we'll see if he can suit it up and get out there for practice this week. Mike Giardi relays the following. Welker called the Wade Phillips comments about him not being very athletic just a lot of noise. And again, that's from Mike Giardi of CSNNE.com. Look, I don't blame Welker. Don't take any shots at Wade Phillips like he did with Rex Ryan a couple of years ago. That got him benched. So I don't blame Welker for not volleying anything back. But calling it a lot of noise, I think, tells you where Welker's coming from. I don't think those comments sat well. And he had six catches for 120 yards in the first freaking half, and wound up with over 130 yards. Did have a couple of drops in this one. As I've said before, I would pay Wes Welker, and I would have done it before today's game, and I think today's game strengthened his case. Also, Mike Reese added the following on the Pats. Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com. Tom Brady said the Patriots had built a plan specifically for Gronkowski and Woodhead. Pats had to adjust after losing both to injury early on. Think about that for a second. Patriots lose Woodhead on, I think, the first play of the game, but certainly on the first drive to that thumb injury, right? So he's out. Patriots then take a shot downfield to Gronkowski on the second drive and lose him for the game to a forearm injury. So two drives in, you've lost the two players who you built your game plan around, and then from there, you hang all your 41 points on the Texans. Like, the Pats didn't score on either of the first two drives. From there, it was a lot of Ridley and Vereen on the Pats' first scoring drive, their third of the game, or third drive of the game, 6 plays, 65 yards, a lot of Vereen, a lot of Ridley, and Vereen punched in the touchdown. Their next drive was 11 for 65, 37-yard field goal from Gostowski, where, again, Vereen was a big factor, and also Welker, who converted a nice third down play on third and eight from 30 yards out, which really got that drive going. And then the Pats on the next drive, 7 plays, 80 yards, Vereen, 8-yard touchdown, as, again, Welker huge on the drive. That's where he made that 47-yard catch over Kareem Jackson down the Patriots sideline. Vereen got in from 8 yards out, and it was 17-3. So those three drives after you lost the focal points of your offense, according to Tom Brady, they built the game plan around Gronkowski and Woodhead, and then they caught fire from that point forward. So certainly an impressive offensive performance anyway, but when you factor that in from the Patriots today, it's even that much more so. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's how you give us a call here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We'll take your thoughts here. We'll also get into your emails to webradio@patriots.com. This one from Bill Berry writing in. Adam, trying to name things people might not name, and I'm only going to name one. The good list is Lloyd, basically because I'm limiting myself to only one. By the way, if Ninkovich's name has not come up, Kevin has permission to give you a noogie. I had Ninkovich on my good list. I did. Recovered the onside kick, had a momentum-changing interception. I thought Ninkovich played a great game. He adds, part of Lloyd's getting on the good list is because he had such low expectations. That said, he had several key first downs. And I cited this one as well. The 8 yards on third and two when the Patriots are trying to run out the clock. It's a big play by Lloyd. Plus, he had a touchdown. The bad, writes Bill Berry. Well, it'd be easy to blame the kick coverage units. My bad is Gostowski. If he kicks those just a few yards farther, those returns don't happen. And it's a harsh way of looking at it, because Gostowski got himself dinged up trying to track down some of those punts. And don't forget, not that it was the biggest field goal of all time or anything like that, but Gostowski did nail a 38-yarder. And if he misses that, it's a 10-point game and momentum goes to the Texans. And, you know, that made the Patriots, or put the Patriots up, rather, whatever it was at that point, 41-28 instead of 38-28. So, I don't know, I thought that was a decently big kick by Gostowski, though the degree of difficulty there is not huge. He also writes that LaCanfora is reporting that Gronk broke his arm, which we knew. Now the bad on the CBS programming, writes Bill. We saw several commercials for Hawaii Five-0 where viewers can vote on the killer, so I guess any clues in the beginning of the mystery show are totally worthless. And again, that's Bill Berry writing into webradio@patriots.com, which we encourage you to do as well, just as Clay from Canada does. Adam, can't catch the live broadcast of the show, but I do plan on listening tomorrow. So I say hi to you in advance here, Clay, for tomorrow's program. I'm not sure if you or any caller or email has talked about it, but I was just want to say great job by the offensive line. I thought they ran the ball way better in this game than they did back in Week 14. I think they definitely ran it better. They ran it okay in that game, 115 yards against the Texans in that December 10th meeting. And they also really handled J.J. Watt. Other than that Dikembe Mutombo impression, which I had forgotten about, I don't recall seeing him doing much of anything the entire game. So kudos to the O-line. They played great and can't wait until next Sunday. And again, that's Clay from Canada writing into webradio@patriots.com. I remember one other play. It was the sack that J.J. Watt had. But he's totally right. In general, they limited J.J. Watt in this game. And by the way, just the way he carried himself bothered me throughout the course of this one. And not just the spitting on the midfield logo, which apparently he does every single week. That's what Watt at least said, monitoring some of the tweets coming out of here, that he told reporters he does it every week, regardless of the venue, regardless of the team. He spits on the midfield logo every week. So, real class act. Also, on Watt, he's out there doing push-ups in the end zone. Like, total look-at-me moment, and I tweeted that at the moment. Total look-at-me moment from him. And then he does the Dikembe Mutombo thing. The way he carried himself throughout this one bothered me, and I was happy that the Patriots stuck it to the Texans in this game, and specifically J.J. Watt. Carried himself like this was his home field, or carried himself like, I don't know, he understood that, you know, how he's being talked about, and that just rubbed me the wrong way. 508-298-0398, the CH Ticket Hotline. It's how you give us a call here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Let's go to our buddy Olivier in Virginia. What do you got, Olivier?
We did our job.
They did indeed.
They did indeed. What really worries me is the fact that obviously Gronk injured himself again and he's out. And I wonder, you know, I'm happy that the team won. I thought that the defense played very well, even though I think Schaub was Schaub and made some critical mistakes at the wrong time. I'm not sure if we're going to see this from Flacco again, but I'm concerned about, you know, how we're going to be able to address the next game without potentially without Jones and without Gronk. I'll let you go, and hopefully you can answer that question.
Yeah, and Olivier, I appreciate the phone call. Look, that's going to be something that we'll look at over the course of the week, at least with Jones. You got to see if he's out there at practice. We don't know how significant it is. As we just relayed to you a few moments ago, Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald said no walking boot, which I would say is a nice start, but he also had a noticeable limp. So my immediate gut reaction is you're not going to have Chandler Jones in the AFC Championship game, but I have no idea. That's my immediate gut reaction. If he's limping around in the locker room, didn't return to this one, it's going to be a hard game for him to play in on Sunday. And Gronkowski, you know, is out. So for me, that's a significant one. Patriots should be able to beat the Ravens without him. I said that earlier. I really feel that way. You saw all the weapons they had on offense today. Ridley, Vereen, Woodhead, if he's healthy enough to play, Bolden out of the backfield. You still have Hernandez, who just about every team, he would be the best tight end on their team just because he's on the Patriots. He happens to be the second best. And the receivers made plays today for the Pats, whether it was Welker or Lloyd. Not so much from Branch, but if you need to play more Branch in the AFC Championship game, I think that's a nice third receiver to mix in. So, I don't know. I think they still have enough weapons. You can get by Baltimore. To me, the game where you're going to miss them more is the Super Bowl, because you're going to need to level things out in that game against an NFC championship or against the NFC champion. The Patriots already struggled enough against the NFC this season, going just 1-3 against the NFC West. So that's the game where I think it bites them more. Look, it's a blow. You always want Gronkowski out there. He's the best tight end in football, and he's your best offensive playmaker beyond Brady. So you want him out there, but I think they can get by Baltimore without him. I do. 508-298-0398. That's how you give us a call here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. You can also send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. Adam Jones with you here. And coming up next, we head back to the podium. Hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. That's next here on patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Welcome back to the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Hour number two of the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here in our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll get back to your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll also head back to the podium momentarily and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. But first, we're joined by a member of the victorious New England Patriots. They beat the Texans 41-28 to advance back to their second straight AFC championship game. Joining us from the locker room is Patriots safety Matthew Slater. And Matthew, first of all, congratulations and thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. And look, you guys are back in your second straight championship game. What was the message from Coach Belichick after the win?
Well, you know, obviously, we're very excited as a football team. We've worked so hard to get back to this point, and it's been a long road, definitely. A full calendar year to get back here, and, you know, we're just excited about what we've accomplished, but we realize that we have a lot of goals left out there that we want to achieve, so there's still a lot of hard work out there for us to do.
One of the areas where you guys struggled today was on special teams with the kickoff coverage. What was the area or what was the reason they gave you so much trouble there?
You know, that was obviously disappointing for us. You know, we've played so well all season long, and to go out in the biggest game of the year and not perform to our best was disappointing. But, you know, hats off to them and Daniel Manning, who did a great job tonight. You know, we just have to go back and look at the film. You know, we're not sure what was going on. You know, we're not pointing any fingers. We just go back, look at the film, and see how we can get better and hopefully go and have a better showing next week.
Patriots safety Matthew Slater joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Matthew, what was the atmosphere like in this one on your sideline, particularly when you guys got that giant lead 38-13?
You know, it was very exciting and, you know, such an exciting game. The fans really had it going tonight and we were feeding off that. And, you know, we were just so focused. We knew we were so close to achieving our goal of moving on, and you know, even in the midst of us going up, taking a big lead, everybody will still focus on doing their job and finishing it out.
What are your early thoughts on facing a Baltimore team that gave you a tough game in the AFC Championship game last year and also handed you a loss back in Week 3?
They're a very good football team. You know, they're playing inspired football right now. They've got great leadership. They play the game the right way, and they're coached to play the game the right way. So it's going to be a very tough opponent for us. We understand that. We realize we have to have a good week of preparation and try to do all the little things right and give ourselves the best chance to have success come Sunday.
Finally, Matthew, there are reports out there that Rob Gronkowski's done for the postseason, re-injuring his forearm. What would that mean for your team?
You know, I'm not really sure what's going on with Rob, but, you know, unfortunately, and as players, we hate this. Injury is part of the game. And that's something that we have to deal with. And, you know, you hate to see anybody get hurt on your team or the other team. But, you know, whatever the case may be, we just have to move on and do what we can with the guys that we have. And, you know, like I said, I'm not sure what's going on with him. I'm not sure what his situation is. But, you know, we just have to – the guys that are healthy have to be out there and get ready to go to work come Wednesday when we practice.
All right. He is Patriots safety Matthew Slater. He and the New England Patriots heading back to their second straight AFC championship game against the Baltimore Ravens in Foxborough on Sunday. Matthew, we appreciate it. Thanks so much and good luck.
Thanks for having me, Adam. Have a good night.
All right, you as well. Matthew Slater joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. And look, the Gronkowski thing is a big blow to this team. We all know that. And not that we expected anyone on the team to come out and break the code there to say, yeah, we're going to lose him, but you heard Matthew there, and we relayed what Will Fork told you earlier at the podium tonight. They know. I mean, without Gronkowski, it makes it that much heavier lifting, but I still think the Patriots are good enough to get out of the AFC. Super Bowl is another story, but let's start with the Ravens. And he said, they're a good team. It's a team that gave you a game here last year in the AFC Championship game. It's a team that handed you a loss in week three, so that'll be a tough matchup, but I think the Patriots have enough. And he also said they got to watch the film on the kickoff returns. It was ugly. It's not a trend with the Patriots in terms of struggling in kickoff coverage, though they did have some issues against the Niners in key spots, but that's not something I expect going forward. Normally, Slater and the Patriots special teams do a nice job on their kickoff coverage. Let's continue with the phone calls. 508-298-0398. Bill's in Colorado. What do you got, Bill?
Hey, Adam, how you doing, buddy? Quick question for you, man. What was the did you hear anything else about Gronkowski? What's going on with Gronkowski? They say his arm. Did they give anything definitive or no?
Yeah, he's done for the postseason, Bill. That there are multiple reports out there right now. Pro Football Talk was the first to have it, but other outlets have picked up on it. He re-injured his forearm. He's done for the postseason.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I called you. The last time I called you out here in Colorado was during the San Francisco game, and I talked a little bit about San Francisco and and when they threw long going with the deep ball. I thought the Texans were going to do that today. They did not. What do you think the chances of Baltimore are going to stretch it out with Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin coming up next week?
Oh, look, it's scary, Bill, and it's a great question. And you saw what they did yesterday. Now, hopefully, the Patriots get better safety play than Raheem Moore and just completely going for a jump ball when Jacoby Jones got behind him. So I trust the Patriots' safeties now more than I did not just the Broncos' safeties, but also when the Patriots played the Ravens last time around in week three. I think McCourty and Gregory is a better combination than Gregory and Chung. I do. And I'd be more worried about jump balls if McCourty wasn't back there. I think he did a nice job today. Again, I think their secondary in general did a nice job. Tlaib got beat a few times, but he also won some matchups. Dennard got beat a couple of times by Posey, including the 25-yard touchdown. But he won some battles as well. Look, the Ravens are probably going to make plays down the field. Flacco to Torrey Smith is a lethal combination. But are they going to make enough plays to beat you? I'm skeptical about it, and I like the Patriots' chances beating the Ravens. I'm not sure they cover that early 10-point spread, but I like their chances against the Ravens, especially here in Foxborough. As promised, let's head back to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following his team's 41-28 win over Houston.
Hello. Yeah, you know, there were a bunch of guys that made good plays, so... You know, Shane had a great game. I mean, really, you know, just a huge growing up moment for him. So very special. And, you know, it was for everybody. There's a lot of guys that made a lot of plays. So we needed it. It was a good football team, a lot of good players. But we got another one coming in next week. Well, I hope I'm around for a few more years. So, you know, I know this was an important win for our team, and that's, you know, always the number one goal for me.
You talked about mental toughness this week and guys making plays when they were basically made, like Shane Light and like Wes did. There was a lot of changes that happened after the first quarter when you lost two key players.
Yeah.
First, how hard was it to make those adjustments, and how important was it to see those guys rise to the challenge?
Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, been the mark of our team. So, you know, we've won 11 to 12. We were down 31-3 at home and battled back. So, you know, I think we're going to be in it. We got a lot of tough guys, mentally tough guys. You know, whatever happens, like what happened on the first play of the game, you know, you got to overcome it. So, made some key plays when we needed to. Shane made them. Wes made them. Brandon made them. So, it was a great effort. Offensive line was awesome, as usual. So, I don't know anything about that, so
Tom,
I haven't heard anything.
Thinking back as a kid, you might go my head. I mean, this described now, you know, did pass your eye. Think about it. Do you think that would ever happen as a kid when you were just basically looking up fools?
Well, I love playing and I love, you know, competing. I love being a part of this team and this organization, and You know, it's a lot of mentally tough guys, and I think I've just been fortunate to play on some great teams over the years. And, you know, I very much appreciate that, and I never take it for granted, and, you know, I'm always going to try to be the best teammate and leader I could possibly be.
And Tom, in the back of your mind, any disappointment whatsoever in that Wilkie Brady versus Manning?
Well, you know, I think the two best teams are in the finals, so, I mean, Baltimore certainly deserves to be here, and so do we. So it was very fitting. We played them early in the year. They got us. You know, we blew a pretty big lead there at the end. But, you know, we're going to have to play our best game this week.
Seems a little subdued. Your mind already flipped forward a little bit?
I'm tired, man. There's a lot of emotional energy spent. I mean, it's, you know, a big buildup to the week, and we had 4 days of practice. And, you know, you're up and you're down, you're up and you're down. And I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. Sure. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we had a whole plan built, you know, for him and for Woody, and, you know, we run the first series of the game, and, you know, all those plans changed. So, you know, I think a little bit was, you know, what are we going to do now? How are we going to adjust? But, you know, we seemed to settle in there midway through the first quarter and put together a pretty good game. So, you know, obviously it's a bummer to lose anybody. But someone of Rob's importance or Danny's importance, you know, we need guys to step in and fill the void, you know, whether it's this game or, you know, any game hereafter. Well, there's adjustments. I mean, you, like I said, you know, we have certain plays for certain guys, and, you know, Rob and Danny are a big part of the plan, but, you know, that's what Josh does best. I mean, he gets guys in the best position to make plays and always comes up with a way to adapt and scheme things up and third down and red area, and there's no one better in the league. So, last question, I'm going home.
For the explanation, it seems like there was a quick whistle. Like late in the game, Steven really still fighting for yards.
Yeah.
They said forward progress. What was the explanation?
Most you could say. Yeah, I wasn't happy. You know, he wasn't happy either, but, you know, that's part of the game. He's a good official. I mean, all the best officials are working this weekend. So I think it's just the heat of the moment, and, you know, I get excited. But, yeah, it's always good. So thanks, guys.
All right, that's Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who I just like to point out to some people tweeting me that I had Brady on my good list. I did. I know that not everyone seems to think that, because I said there were some more throws he could have made, and that his game today was more about his career accomplishments, 17 wins, the most in postseason history, 3 touchdowns, no turnovers in a postseason game. I thought he had a nice game. On numbers alone, I probably would have had somebody else on the good list. But his career accomplishments put him over the top. And look, Welker became the Patriots' all-time leader in postseason receptions. Brady's 5 touchdowns away from having the most in postseason history. So a lot of things crumbling today as the Patriots beat the Houston Texans 41-28. They're back in the AFC Championship game as they get set to take on the Ravens for the second straight season. Quickly, aside from Brady, a member of the Ravens has already given the Patriots bulletin board material. Like, that didn't take long, huh? What are we, 2 hours, not even, after the end of this game? And we already have bulletin board material coming out of Baltimore. And Brendan Iambadejo, who I actually think is an intelligent athlete, unfortunately, seems like he stepped in it this time. Iambadejo tweets out, and this is fairly recently, earlier tonight. Well, I guess he was watching the Patriots beating the Houston Texans in convincing fashion, offensively, defensively, all over the place. He tweeted this out 3 hours ago, so he's watching the game and tweeting the following. New England does some suspect stuff on offense. Can't really respect it. Comparable to a cheap shot before a fight. Not so bad. He follows that up with this. You watching this game, Pats and Texans? If so, you see the hurry-up snap offense. Catch them before they set up. It's a gimmick, tweets Iambadejo. Again, not so bad. This is Ravens linebacker watching the game. Brendan Iambadejo also tweets the following. Their offense is good enough to be successful without that. Again, not inflammatory. He adds, you know the same organization that did Spygate and cut a guy the day before the Super Bowl. Well, here we go. Now you're starting to make it personable, or personal rather, and starting to fan some flames, right? Like, that's what's going to piss people off, and that's what's going to get on the Patriots bulletin board. Not that the offense is a gimmick, which fine, you can call it that if you'd like, but Spygate cut a guy the day before the Super Bowl, which is a reference to Tyquan Underwood a season ago. His next tweet, which I'm assuming is the more and more Patriots fans that started tweeting at him and said, you know, to stuff it. He then tweeted out 18-1 is all he said, just in a following tweet. In a subsequent tweet, I am Badejo. In a sport that's predicated on mano a mano, let's hurry up and snap it equals bitch assness is what he tweets. And then again, in response to these Patriots fans that I'm sure were tweeting at him. And by the way, if you'd like to do so, you can send your messages to at Brendan, B-R-E-N-D-O-N, 310. It's Ravens linebacker Brendan Iambadejo. Said the following, Bart Scott, can't wait. And he tweeted out a YouTube video from Bart Scott from a few postseasons ago. So, look, already fanning the flames. And I said, I think Iambadejo is a pretty intelligent athlete, in all honesty. You know, he's gone toe-to-toe with senators down in Maryland about equal rights bills and things of that nature. So I said, I think he's relatively intelligent, but this time it already seems like you're giving the Patriots bulletin board material that you didn't otherwise have to. So again, if you'd like to tweet at him, please do so. Brendan, B-R-E-N-D-O-N, 310, and send him the messages, and please keep him clean, because he's already retweeting some of the unsavory tweets and reprehensible tweets from Patriots fans. So please don't go down that road. Squeeze in a phone call here. 508-298-0398. We'll mix in your thoughts on this game and how the Patriots match up against the Ravens. Also with your thoughts on Iambadejo's tweets, if you'd like to weigh in on that. Let's go to Malcolm in Maine. What do you got, Malcolm?
No, I just don't want anybody to forget about Wes Welker in this game. I mean, that one pass across the middle, it was a dart by Brady to him, but then he caught it. He took a hit that, you know, guys bigger than him probably would have left the game. And not to mention that down the sideline, on the left sideline, Welker out battled the defensive receiver against to catch that pass. Welker didn't have a touchdown this game, but I'll tell you what, Wes Welker, for a little guy, I mean, he's the go-to guy for Tom Brady. He's an unsung hero. He had no touchdowns tonight. But without Wes Welker, man, with Gronk out of the game and just, you know, Woodhead's out, Welker comes through all the time. He dropped one or two passes that maybe could have been caught, maybe was a little bad pass by Brady. But the point is, Wes Welker is a clutch receiver. Here's a guy that he's not even 5'10". He goes across the middle and he gets nailed by guys 6-something. And he still comes up with these clutch passes. I mean, any other goddamn receiver would have been brutalized.
Yeah, and Malcolm, I understand the point. I appreciate the phone call. You can't say that even on the internet. 508-298-0398, that's how you get in touch. Look, I agree. Welker made some big plays. And I think he already should be expecting a contract extension from the Pats. He should. But if they weren't leaning that way, and you can't negotiate with franchise tag players, or you at least can't extend franchise tag players in season, so it's not like I can turn around and hand him anything right now, but I wonder how much they're watching Welker's performance in the postseason against better defenses and more physical teams. And I just wonder, did they need to see something from him in the postseason to give him that contract? They being the Krafts, they being Belichick, whomever would be making that decision. And I don't think they should have to, but if they are, I think the good outweighed the bad from Welker today. Two bad drops in this game, but in general, 130-plus yards receiving, 8 catches, move the chains on third down. That's the guy that I'd be looking to have back. And this tweet ties into it. Brandon from California, good friend of the show, writes in, Adam, I wonder what Wade Phillips is saying now about Wes being, quote, not real athletic. That's one bit of trash talk from last week. And as we said, Brendan Iambadejo of the Ravens already calling the Patriots offense a gimmick offense, saying in a game that's mano a mano, this is the equivalent of bitch assness. And now he's fanning the flames of Spygate, and also bringing up the Patriots cutting someone the night before the Super Bowl, Tyquan Underwood. Like, that matters. It's harsh, but what are you going to do? You're going to hold that against an organization because they cut Underwood the night before the Super Bowl? It's silly. Checking the emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. Adam, good game. Just a question about the Patriots defense near the end of the game regarding Matt Schaub's 7 or 8 completions in a row. I feel that this section of the game, whether it was considered garbage time or not, is a sign of things to come against Flacco if the game ends up being a shootout. Thanks, love the show. And that's Kieran writing in. You know, I look, I don't know about Flacco and it being a sign of things to come. I think Patriots fans should expect some plays to be made down the field against their defense. You know, statistically, their defense isn't as good as Denver's going into that game. And Flacco and Torrey Smith and Flacco and Jacoby Jones and Flacco and Anquan Boldin made plays against that secondary throughout the course of that game. And I wasn't totally sold on the Broncos' defense being upper echelon or even all that great, but I do think it's better than the Patriots coming into this game. So expect some plays to be made down the field, but expect the Patriots' offense to make some against them as well. Remember, Patriots lost 31-30 in Week 3. I think they're a better team than they were in Week 3. And the Ravens, I'm not even sure about it. They've been playing well the last couple of weeks, but they played great out of the gates. They started 9-2, then stumbled down the stretch. I think they're back to being Baltimore. They always give you tough games, which is why I think the Ravens will cover that number if it stays at 10 by next Sunday. I think it'll be closer than that, but the Patriots should be able to get by the Ravens with or without Gronkowski. Let's go to Rob in Florida. What do you got, Rob?
Oh, hey, how are you tonight?
Doing well.
Great game. I mean, I was, you know, I was a little nervous, actually, you know. I'll be honest. I was scared.
At what point? Going into the game, you mean, or when the Texans were making a bit of a push?
Well, no, just before the game. I mean, yep. We hadn't played in so long, and all these other games were going on, and, you know, I just didn't know what was going to happen. But I'm very excited with this win. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I mean, Wes Welker, as far as I'm concerned, he is the most underappreciated athlete in sports. I mean, this guy is money.
Well, when you say underappreciated, I think fans appreciate him. Do you mean the organization, Rob?
The organization. I mean, this guy needs to be – I mean, I think he's just been so disrespected. He – Hey, this man. This guy has been the heart and soul of our offense for the last 5 years. And, yeah, you know, he has a couple of drops here and there, but I'm sorry. Without Welker, we don't win 60% of the games we've won in the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, I mean, that number seems high, but, Rob, I appreciate the phone call, and I understand the overall point. I think they should pay Welker and, at the very least, bring him back next year with the franchise tag. At the very least, that's what I'd do. Do I think he's been underappreciated? Obviously. The organization thinks they can replace him with Edelman or perhaps with someone else out there, be it Amendola or whomever. So I would have brought him back. I've said that constantly. I would have brought him back. But look, I do think the drops are worth mentioning because he's sort of been fighting that all season. Like, this isn't the first game that's happened. He's been fighting drops all season. I think the great plays he makes outweigh it, but it is worth mentioning, especially with the big drop he had in last year's Super Bowl. You know, is he different from that point on? Yeah, I still trust him in a big spot. He's still the guy I'd be looking to on third down, especially without Gronkowski anymore. But you have to bring up the drops with Welker. It's part of his entire season. He's had a ton of them. And Hernandez has too. Let's go to Victor in Washington. What do you got, Victor?
Hi, how's it going?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, after that win, I feel great. And I just wanted to say that you know, I understand people's concerns about defense and about things on the offense like Gronk, but this deep in the postseason and coming up to the Super Bowl, you got to take your chances no matter who you're playing or who you got on your team. I think that you just got to go in and hope for the best.
Yeah.
You're playing against the elite in the league.
Yeah, I mean, look, Victor, I think the best way to put it, and I appreciate the phone call, the Patriots did fall to the Ravens, but they also beat the two best teams in the AFC this year in the regular season. They've now beaten Houston twice, and they also beat Denver all the way back in Week 5. Now, all those games were in Foxborough, and they lost to the Ravens on the road, but this game's in Foxborough. So I like the Patriots' chances on their home field, I do. And I think the Ravens will be a tough game. I'm shocked at some of the tweets out there that say the Patriots are 10-point favorites. That to me seems way too high, especially the way the Ravens always play you tough. You got the Ray Lewis farewell tour going on, which you know they're going to be pumped up for that thing. And Flacco made some plays, but the Broncos defense gave him some plays too. If Raheem Moore just gets back, that's not a touchdown at the end of the game, and maybe Denver wins. And don't forget as well, you know, that Broncos defense gave the Ravens an awfully short field, or the Broncos offense, rather, gave the Ravens an awfully short field when Manning threw that awful pick going across his body. There's a reason that he has the most postseason losses in playoff history. You know, he's not an awful postseason quarterback, but he's made some bad plays in bad spots, and that was more evidence of it. Meanwhile, Tom Brady, 17 playoff wins, the most all time. He passed Joe Montana earlier tonight when the Patriots beat the Texans 41-28 here in Foxborough. Sun Life Patriots postgame show, Adam Jones with you here on Patriots.com. And coming up next, we'll hear from a few members of that Patriots defense. That's next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Ah.
that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today. Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
We're wrapping things up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We'll go till a little bit before 10 o'clock on the East Coast here on a Sunday night as the Patriots beat the Texans 41-28. They advance back to the AFC Championship game where they'll take on the Baltimore Ravens for the second straight season with a berth in the Super Bowl on the line. Just wanted to relay along a couple of things before we head back to the podium and hear from a few members of the Pats defense. J.J. Watt weighed in on what's being called Spitgate, where he spit on the Patriots logo at midfield earlier today, which is something we touched on the Patriots pregame social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. Watt said, I do it at every game, home or away. Watt said, I go out to midfield, I jog out there, I spit a little bit, I wipe my feet off, and I go through my stretching. No drama there. That's what I do every game, home or away. So there's one piece of information. There's also this, and I just want to reiterate it, the tweets from Brendan Iambadejo, Ravens linebacker, tweeted them at Brendan310. But again, keep it clean because he's already been retweeting some of the responses from Patriots fans, and you don't want to be that guy who brings down the region or what people think of the region. So if you're going to tweet at him, keep it clean, keep it clever. Iambadejo, in a succession of tweets, New England does some suspect stuff on offense, can't really respect it. It's comparable to a cheap shot before a fight. Are you watching the game, Pats and Texans? If so, you see the hurry up snap every single snap. Catch them before they set it up. It's a gimmick. Iambadejo continued on Twitter. Their offense is good enough to be successful without that. You know they're the same organization that did Spygate and got a guy cut the day before the Super Bowl. Well, that's where you start fanning the flames. Before that, it was relatively clean. Maybe it would have been misconstrued as trash talk, calling their offense a gimmick. So what? Iambadejo followed that up with 18-1, which pours salt in the wound. And then in a sport that's predicated on mano a mano, let's hurry up and snap it equals bitch-assness, is what Iambadejo said. And he followed it up with Bart Scott, can't wait. And he tweeted out the YouTube video of Bart Scott from a couple of seasons ago when the Jets beat the Patriots in 2010. So I'd imagine Patriots fans aren't overly thrilled with Brendan Iambadejo. Kevin writes in, web radio, patriots.com. Adam, I think knowing that Gronk will not be 100%, or will be 100% not available, rather, is a blessing. I don't think a less than 100% Gronk would be effective in the blocking scheme that he needs to be 100% for. Omanawanui can fill in just fine, and while he's not Gronk, he should be able to prepare with a full week of practice and get more reps and be more integrated in the passing attack like he was a few weeks ago. Of course, losing Gronk isn't a happy sight. It's just better to know he's out instead of any wavering that could be a distraction if you were maybe possible to come back. And I'm also worried about Woody a bit, writes Kevin from Japan. The Woodhead thing, yeah, but look, the Patriots running backs, I think, are still deep enough. I'd like them out there, but they're deep enough. On Gronkowski, this is actually something that Kevin and I were discussing off air. I agree with the point. Like, you want Gronkowski, but if he's not going to be out there, it's good to know he's gone. So Patriots players and even the coaches aren't sort of planning halfway that you'll have Gronkowski back. You know he's gone now for the postseason. So at least you know. You definitively know he's not going to be back. And there's no waiting around for him or potentially getting him in a game plan at a later point. You know he's done, so you can just pick up and move forward. You don't want to lose him, but in a weird way, I think from a mental standpoint, that helps. Instead of him coming back in 3 weeks and being 50% in the Super Bowl like he was a year ago, if he's not 100%, maybe this is the way to go. I don't disagree with that point. Let's go to Ralph in New York. What do you got, Ralph?
Hey, Adam. I agree with you. I think that they can, you know, they can beat Baltimore without Gronkowski. But my concern really is going to be if they have to play the 49ers in the Super Bowl. I think that one of the things that was of concern was in the game they did play, their pass rush wasn't very effective against Kaepernick. And I think the success that the defense has had this season, especially the last half of the season, has been because they've been able to pressure quarterbacks and been effective at it. But against the 49ers, they weren't effective. And I think their offense sputtered without Gronkowski as well against this San Francisco defense, not having that you know, tight end option, double tight end option that was so successful for them. Wondering what your thoughts on that are.
Well, look, a few different things, and I appreciate the phone call, Ralph. 508-298-0398. On the Niners in the Super Bowl, I agree with the point. That's a scary matchup. They beat you here. And the game wasn't as close as the final score indicated. Remember, they were up 4 touchdowns in that game. So if you're in the Super Bowl, you deal with it when you get there. I understand. And you'll deal with it. But who would I be rooting for from a Patriots standpoint next weekend? I would absolutely be rooting for the Falcons. I'd be rooting for the Falcons because I think they're an easier road than the Super Bowl. But you got to take care of the Ravens first. So that's my first thought on that. And pressuring quarterbacks, I think the addition of Tlaib has helped. And I think the health in their front seven is a big factor in that. Though if Chandler Jones can't go next week, and we don't know. We just know he was hobbling around the locker room and left the game with an ankle injury. If he's not healthy and he's not ready to go, that impacts the pass rush. I think that's pretty self-evident. But I'd much rather face Atlanta in the Super Bowl than San Francisco. I think most Patriots fans feel that way. 508-298-0398. That's your phone number to get in touch. You can give us a call with your thoughts. You can also email us webradio@patriots.com. We'll get into all of that following Vince Wilfork at the podium after the Patriots beat Houston 41-28.
Yeah, that was all year we always talked about third downs and red area. Certain situations being able to get off the field. And, you know, we've done a pretty good, decent job of, you know, handling third down and, you know, making some key stops when we needed it. Rob Ninkovich making an interception, that was big for us. So, just we stepped up. You know, at this point, you want to be having as much success as possible. And it starts with, you know, good week of preparation and being able to execute. So, it'll never be perfect, but at the same time, you have to be able to make more plays than your opponents. And that's what we did tonight. He's a tough player. I mean, he's a great, great player. I mean, he's a student of the game. He loves to play. The passion that he has for the game, everything you want into a teammate, that's what he brings to the table. His leadership, you know, he's kind of behind the scenes. But he's a great leader on and off the field. I mean, he's a special player for us, and it shows. I mean, he make plays after plays because he put the time in, he put the work in, he worked his tail off. So we see a lot of plays being made in practice. So we expect it in the game. So it don't come by surprise for us as players because we know what type of player this guy is.
I know it's the other side of the ball, but how much is it going to hurt not having Cousins?
Having who?
Rob.
Oh, sure. We don't have him? I have no clue. I'm sorry. I have no clue on that. And I'm being dead serious. So, I mean, he's a tough player. I mean, he's probably one of the best players at that position. So. But what can you do? You have to move forward. Be able to move forward. We have a lot of guys that can step in and make plays. We've seen it throughout this season. You know, guys stepping in, and because if it's injuries or whatever it may be, guys coming and stepping up the bat and making plays for us. So it'll be another case where somebody has to step in and step up and make some plays. And I'm pretty sure the guys will do that. It's sweet just playing in the AFC Championship. I don't care where it's at. I mean, it's even sweeter to play at home, but that's the bonus. But you know what? It won't matter come Sunday. or whenever we play. It won't matter. You know, we're going to have to beat a good football team, a team that beat us earlier this year at their house, a team that's riled up for us. I'm pretty sure they're going to be ready to go with Ray Lewis and that whole outfit coming to town. So it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a physical, mentally tough game. And at this point in the season, you have to put everything you have into it. You know, it's a one-week season for us. We have to approach it like that. So we're going to get to work starting tomorrow, and, you know, hopefully we can get some things done early in this week that can, you know, make us better off in that game. Complete team. I mean, everywhere you look, they have playmakers. You know, when you they have a tight end, they have, you know, two running backs, they have several receivers, they have a good offensive line, good quarterback, good fullback. Defensively, I mean, where to start? You know, they have guys that rotate in that can be starters anywhere else. I mean, and special teams, Harbaugh is a special teams guy. His special teams are always good. Jacoby back there, you know, returning kicks, so they're a complete football team. You know, when you they stack up well against a lot of teams just because of the people that they have on that squad. And that's, and it makes it tough for, you know, for teams to play against them, because, you know, they really don't lack in any area. So you basically have to play your best football against them to try to make plays. And but plays won't come by easy with this team. You know, they shown last week what they can do. I mean, it's a team that has a lot of fight in them. You know, no matter what it is, you know, they have a lot of fight, and it starts with Ray, what he brings to the team. So we up for the challenge. You know, it's going to be another one. I mean, it's going to be a physical football team, football game, but we've been there before. We can get a little better. We can play a lot better. No, we need to be a little better. I mean, I'm pretty sure we watch this film and see some things that we need to clean up, and seeing if we make those changes, we can be a pretty good defense. But overall, you know, this team, this defense is taking the right steps. That's the only thing you can ask for, to take the right steps, especially at this point in time. So your goal right now is to win. No matter how you win, that's the goal. You know, you lose, you go home. So whatever we have to do to win, that's what we're going to have to do.
Vince, you play with Kevin Falk, you've seen him, you know, develop into the great type of back he was. 2011, you draft Marine, you draft Ridley. Talk about those two guys over the last 2 years and how they've gotten to this point where, you know, the impact they've been able to win that goes down.
Well, it starts with their coach. You know, Ivan don't, you know, he don't let them slack. You know, these guys, they come out, they work their tails off. You know, when they make a mistake, they hear about it, but, you know, they never mope. You know, that group never mope. They always trying to get better. They very competitive. They all bring difference to the table, but, you know, all of them have heart. You know, so being a running back, you have to have a lot of heart, because you get a lot of hits. You know, that's the last thing I want is a wimpy running back running the ball, touching the ball. But we don't have that. We have some good backs. They like I said, they all bring something different to the table. And it showed tonight.
It did indeed. Patriots running backs made their presence felt from Ridley to Vereen. You get the feeling that Woodhead would have as well. But he got knocked out with a thumb injury on basically the first play of the game, certainly the first drive of the game. The Patriots lost him. And real quick, just because I do want to blow this theory apart already. The Patriots in their game plan may have had more Vereen than we initially thought. And certainly than I thought. Remember, early on, I was really campaigning for Ridley there on Twitter, and I couldn't understand why they didn't use him at all on the first two drives. But let's not pretend like the Patriots had a game plan built for Vereen. They built it for Woodhead, and he got knocked out. So let's not give them too much credit on that. He played great. They took him for a reason. But I don't know. I look at him, and I just say, as well as he played, it's not like that's what the Patriots wanted in the first place. 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. I'm looking over some of the emails here. This one from Brendan in California, as he writes in parentheses. Again, Adam, it's one thing if it was from Suggs or Pollard, and he's talking about the trash talk from Brendan Iambadejo. But this guy doesn't even start. I mean, I've never seen a player in such a rush to watch a game from the bench. Can't wait. Anywho, who do you see Talib matching up against with the Ravens? I don't think the Patriots will do that, to be honest. I don't see that happening. I think they give him a side. And that's what they'll do. I think they give him and Dennard a side, and that's what he does. I don't think they're going to match him up on anyone specific. I have a hard time believing that. If they did, I guess it would be Smith, but I have a hard time believing they do that. One more email here from Brian before we head back to the podium and hear from another member of that Patriots defense. Brian writes in, web radio, patriots.com. Adam, I definitely appreciate your often thankless and lonely work on the post-game show, though it appears Patriots fans are always around to chime in. Anyway, great game tonight by the Pats. Didn't consider this game a 100% gimme, but I figured it would have been from something unexpected, like Andre Johnson and Arian Foster were going to get shut down tonight. And for the most part, they did. So Schaub and the Texans were going to have to surprise the Pats, and I didn't think they had the pieces offensively, and I don't think their coach was flexible enough to get it done. However, as the saying goes, any given Sunday. So there was some hesitance there to call it a lock. That aside, Vereen was awesome. I was encouraged by Hernandez's play. And I will jump in here parenthetically and add, I was too, because I was on Hernandez in Week 17, and I was skeptical that he'd look healthy and not drop key balls or not commit a silly penalty, and he played very well. I would agree with Brian on that point. He continues to webradiopatriots.com. Hernandez didn't seem to be suffering from that fear that we saw so many times after the 49ers game where he got blasted, so that's good news. Ninkovich was outstanding again as usual, and I had Ninkovich on my good list tonight. Brian adds, Big Vince was in the backfield quite often, as well as helping Mayo and Spike shut down the run, and of course, Brady was Brady. As far as Gronkowski's injury, I think Belichick has been planning for this since before Super Bowl kickoff last year. It was quite obvious they wanted to add depth at tight end on the roster in order to protect at least some of the two-headed monster, and I think the retention of Fells and Hooman are proof of that. They never expected Gronk and Hernandez to remain healthy for the entire year. It's a good point. You know, you got to wonder if that's why the Patriots built the depth. And not to say that O'o Manawanui is Gronkowski or Hernandez, and I understand that's not what the emailer's saying. But I think there's something to that, that they built depth in the offseason at that tight end spot, and it's paying off now. And O'o Manawanui's been a nice get. Like I said, I mocked it when the Patriots first made the move. I thought it was Josh McDaniels getting his Rams guys in here, and that's the only reason. But he's played well. He's certainly outplayed Fells. And if Fells is your third tight end, I don't think it's perfect by any means, but I think he can get by with that as long as Hernandez plays the way he did today. 508-298-0398. That's the phone number to give us a call here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. You can also send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. We just heard from Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork, who played a whale of a game. Let's head back and hear from Patriots safety Devin McCourty.
First thing I was thinking, just get him down. Give our defense a chance to get out there and you know, try to hold them to 3 points and not just give them 7 points easy. So, that just comes down to effort. You know, Kyle was running, I was running, and we was determined to get them on the ground. I think, you know, last year when I was on this team and Vince spoke about, you know, an attitude and playing a certain way, especially once you get in the playoffs. And I think this team has carried that attitude over this year, you know, with a lot of, you know, foundation of defense back. And I think guys have that attitude that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, usually we're on the end where our offense is putting up a lot of points. And, you know, if things go wrong, you know, somebody returns a kick or anything like that, we just want to hold guys out of the end zone. And we want to make plays down there and just try to play great defense. And we know if we can hold teams to 3 points, our offense will do the job and put 7 on the board. We'll have to see. If we knew that, we would have fixed it right after the first one. So we'll be in tomorrow morning, and we'll fix that. You know, we have to fix that. We can't afford to give up those type of returns.
What was the game plan for limiting Andre Johnson against double-angle safeties on
this
side?
The biggest thing we play a guy like him is try to do a bunch of different things. But I think you can't take away, you know, what Akib did today, you know, going out there and just challenging him every play and being able to, you know, play with one of the top receivers in this league. And, you know, we did different things at different times, but, you know, most of it was Akib just playing good defense.
talked last question about how tough Aries roster is to break down. How do you guys think he did overall?
I think there was some good and some bad, and you know, when you're playing these playoff games, that's usually how it goes against those good players. So we'll have to build on the good we did and then fix the bad.
Patriots safety Devin McCourty, and I think he goes hand in hand with Aqib Talib, by the way, who we talked about extensively there. That's why the secondary is better. McCourty, you can trust your safeties now, not getting beat over the top, which against a team like Baltimore is going to be important. And I also think the way Talib played today was encouraging. He didn't win every single battle with Andre Johnson. He gave up almost 100 total yards and that two-point conversion. I still think he played well. I still think he was on him for most of the night. Competitive, and he also won some plays. There was that breakup that he had in the backfield where it looked like Spikes picked it off, or Mayo or whomever it was, looked like they picked it off, at least on television. And that was a big play by Talib. So I thought he was competitive out there. And also on McCourty, basically echoed what Matt Slater told us earlier tonight. If we knew what was going wrong with the Patriots on kickoff returns, then they would have fixed it. And instead they don't. It's why they kept getting burned on it, so they're going to go watch tape. That's the second Patriot who said that. Looking through some of the emails here, webradio@patriots.com. This one from Beaven writes in, Adam, given that 80-yard screen pass earlier in the season, I've been waiting for Vereen's speed to be used in the downfield game, and this was it. He is the Pats' long ball threat. Welker also. Do you see Vereen being used more often against Baltimore this way? His speed can create some space underneath for Wes and Aaron against the slow Raven linebackers. Finally, Brady had a great game, but he does ignore Lloyd sometimes. There was a risky pass to Welker on the sideline in the third quarter, and Lloyd appeared to be wide open underneath. That said, Brady did connect with Lloyd on some crucial third down plays. Hopefully the Pats can jump on the Ravens earlier. And again, that's Beaven writing in to webradio@patriots.com. Look, on the Lloyd thing, there was only one play where I remember Brady really staring down Lloyd. And I can't remember the pass, but you could tell that Brady was just ticked at whatever route Lloyd ran.
I believe that was the first play of the second half.
It was certainly in the second half. I honestly can't remember where it was.
I think it was their first play from scrimmage, and it almost got picked because Lloyd wasn't in the right spot.
Exactly. And he almost threw it like right to the safety.
Exactly.
Because Lloyd and him were on a different page. Other than that, I thought Brady and Lloyd were fine. So that's the one play, and honestly, I should have taken notes on it, and I didn't. But on the Vereen thing, here's what I'll tell you. And he makes a good point on the slower linebackers for Baltimore.
It's an excellent point.
But there's also this. If nothing else, they're going to have to game plan for him, and they're going to have to be aware of him when he's out there on the field.
It's one more thing for them to worry about.
Correct.
And it takes up more of their time this
correct.
Week.
Not even that, but that. You have to commit attention to him now after what he did this week. When you're out there on the field, never mind the work you put in over the course of the week. When he's out there, you have to pay attention to him. I think that's significant.
But it's a valid point. I really watched that Ravens game closely yesterday, and there were several times, and Lewis actually got flagged twice for this. You know, you had not so much Sean Moreno, he got hurt in that game, but Ronnie Hillman coming out of the backfield, and he'd sit down, you know, play action fake, he'd sit down in the middle of the field, 5 yards downfield. Now, Peyton would go through his progressions, decide, I'm going to check this thing down, and Ronnie Hillman would start to slide left or right, and twice, Ray Lewis just realized, I cannot stay with this guy if he catches the ball, and we're one-on-one in space. So he took the pass interference penalty, which is only going to net you, you know, it's a spot foul, so it only netted them 4 or 5 yards. It's a smart play, but it was just sort of Ray Lewis's concession. I can't keep up with these guys.
Here's an interesting question from Glenn, and it's a good point. Already on the Ravens anyway, and add this into what you were just saying, Kevin. Glenn asks, webradio@patriots.com, you think Baltimore will come out flat? You know, double overtimes on the road and a quick turnaround, having to go back on the road. Now, they just had a short week the previous week, so add that in as well. Short week, playing on a Sunday, then a Saturday. Now you have double overtimes where, in effect, you played going on a game and a half in the last week. And then, as he said, you got to go on the road, quick turnaround. Are they going to come out flat? I don't know. I think Baltimore is the kind of team that you don't have to worry about with that kind of stuff. Yeah, I think Baltimore is professional enough that they're not going to get caught up in that kind of crap. I think they'll come to play.
I agree.
Regardless. If that was Houston, or if that was even Denver, you know, Denver coming out of a double overtime game, even though you would have had to go there, like, that to me is would have been a more fair question, because I would question their approach more so than Baltimore's. I don't buy that they're going to come in here and make excuses. They just don't strike me as that kind of team.
With the added motivation with Lewis and all that emotion that's being put into this, they're going to be up to play.
And they showed it. They already came back on a short week and beat Denver in double overtime. So I've been impressed with Baltimore. I'll tell you right now, sitting here on a Sunday, I don't think the Patriots cover that early line, 9.5 or 10 points, whatever it is. I like their chances going back to the Super Bowl and beating Baltimore again here in Foxborough. I do.
We're going to get a front row seat just like we did last year of Ray Lewis's, you know, who let the dogs out speech. Remember that happened?
That's
like,
a
right
great
outside?
Point.
Remember that?
That's a great point.
Perillo almost ran out of the studio and joined it.
I didn't do the postgame or the pregame show last year.
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
But I'll be, we'll be but here. I mean, we'll be ready for it. It's going to be right out
they
here.
They do it right outside this wall.
Here
and
we go.
I swear to God, Perillo wanted to just, he opened
jumping around.
He opened the door right behind where Adam sits and was just like, you know, just pumping his fists and all
right.
some sort of like primal rage ran through Perillo.
We will be up close and personal for that next week. That's what you can look forward to when the Patriots play the Ravens for the second straight year in the AFC Championship game here in Foxborough. They advance to it by beating the Texans 41-28. I appreciate all the phone calls tonight and all of the feedback we got on the email and on Twitter. Keep it coming next week. And I'll talk to you on the pregame show with Andy and Paul, our pregame social leading up to the AFC Championship game. And, of course, following that game right here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots host the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 4 p.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.